This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We turn our conversation now to yesterday's suicide bomb attack in Jerusalem, the fourth and deadliest Palestinian suicide bombing since the three-month moratorium was put in place on June 29th. 20 people were killed, several of them children. More than 100 other people were injured. Several of the dead are being identified as Americans. President George W. Bush demanded an immediate crackdown on militants by the Palestinian Authority in a bid to salvage a U.S.-backed peace plan. If you'd like to join our conversation about this issue, our number in Washington is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Our email address is totn@npr.org. What do you think the Bush administration's next move should be regarding the peace process in the Middle East? Joining us now are two people who have followed Israeli-Palestinian relations for decades and have worked for two previous U.S. administrations' attempts to broker a Middle East peace. Dennis Ross is a distinguished fellow and counselor at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy and a former special envoy to the Middle East. He joins us from his office in Washington, D.C. Good of you to be with us, as always.
Pleasure.
And Robert Malley is also with us, director of the Middle East Program at the International Crisis Group in Washington, D.C., a former special assistant to President Clinton for Arab-Israeli Affairs. He, too, joins us from his office in Washington, and thanks to you.
Good to be here.
Dennis Ross, let's begin with you. As a peace process begins, everybody knows from the beginning that there are going to be very difficult moments involving, in the past is any guide, there are going to be bombings and incidents that are going to be difficult to overcome. This latest one is going to be a very difficult challenge for Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon, is it not?
Yes, I believe it is. In part, it's made more difficult, I think, by the beginnings of an expectation. There was a ceasefire, even if it didn't hold perfectly. People in Israel were getting used to the idea that they might be able to breathe again, that they could get on buses, they could go to theaters and movies, and they didn't have to worry about wondering whether or not they would survive being able to do that. So when you begin to get a little bit of hope, and then you have this kind of an attack, it has a disproportionate effect on the psychology, and it's bound to create a set of pressures on Prime Minister Sharon that are going to be quite potent and will require him to do something, or certainly to be seen as doing something.
And Robert Malley, the same question as it applies to the new Palestinian Prime Minister, Mahmoud Abbas. He is being now put under a great deal of pressure, not just by Prime Minister Sharon, but by President Bush and others. So he should do something, too.
Well, this is the moment that he was hoping he'd never have to face, but he knew he would one day, which is how does he react to another terrorist attack under his watch, and of this magnitude especially. I mean, the casualty list is one that would make anyone shudder. So it is a real test for him. I think he faces a very, very difficult position. On the one hand, he has pressure from Israel, pressure from the United States, and he knows that if he doesn't act seriously now, his credibility is going to be very seriously undermined with both. On the other hand, on the Palestinian side, it's not quite so clear. There's broad support among Palestinians for the ceasefire. On the other hand, there's not support for the kind of crackdown that both Israel and the United States would like to see, particularly because some Palestinians say we still haven't seen any real results from this peace process with Israel. Nothing has really changed on the ground, or not much. And some would say that this cycle of violence was begun by Israel, which, despite the ceasefire, had killed some members, a member of the Islamic Jihad and a member of Hamas. Now, none of that, I think even in Abu Mazen's mind, none of that justifies what happened yesterday. But I think it puts in context the kind of pressures he's under. And added to that is the fact that it's not clear that he has either the military or the political capacity to really crack down on those groups.
Dennis Ross, this comes at a moment shortly after the Israeli government announced plans to for some more concessions, perhaps not enough to satisfy everybody on the Palestinian side, certainly not, but there was some movement happening, and it, of course, has been frozen, and now it just seems like it's a matter for waiting for the other shoe to drop.
It may well be. I think the only way to prevent a serious Israeli response is if the Israelis were to see that Abu Mazen, Mohammed Dahlan, his security chief, were really going to do something. I feel myself that there are sort of several things they could do. One is to build on some of the statements that Abu Mazen made yesterday, and make it clear that those who did this are themselves a threat to the Palestinian cause. Two was actually to immediately go to his legislative council and say, look, we need laws now that criminalize this kind of behavior and make it clear that we will go after and prosecute those who do this. And three, he is going to have to make some arrests. And I think Rob's point on him wanting to avoid this moment, certainly avoid the moment before he had a lot more clout internally, is, I think, quite true. It's why I think this is a time when we need some of the Arab leaders to step up and to envelop him with their support to make it clear that they reject what happened yesterday and they believe that those who did it should be held accountable and in fact, they should be arrested. He needs their support from that standpoint. He needs their support from the standpoint of also leaning on Yasser Arafat to be sure that Yasser Arafat doesn't block any efforts that Abu Mazen and Dahlan may make if they, in fact, begin to go after some of the members of Hamas and Islamic Jihad.
Abu Mazen, I should point out, is a name frequently used by Mahmoud Abbas, the Palestinian prime minister, and the other person to whom Dennis Ross was referring was his security chief. Robert Malley, what do you think could be done positively the next step would seem to be back to square one, and a lot of people would say that's the abyss.
Well, square one would be the abyss. It would be square zero in many ways, I think. But I think we really are facing a conundrum which I think was inherent in the roadmap from the beginning. The steps Dennis has outlined, I think, are they would make a difference. They may even be steps that Abu Mazen will take. On the other hand, I'm not sure how much of a difference they would make. And if I were sitting in Israel, I'd wonder whether I would take them seriously at all to pass laws to arrest a few people. I mean, you could arrest some people, but there will always be others who are prepared to take this kind of action. And again, right now, the Palestinian Authority doesn't even have the capacity to go into the city from where the bombers originated in Hebron because it's controlled by Israel. So I think he may take these steps. But number one, I'm not sure they'd be convincing to Israel. Number two, more importantly, I'm not sure they're going to prevent the next attack. And I think we're finding ourselves in this situation where both sides have taken many steps from the beginning of the roadmap. Neither side has taken fully convincing steps, the ones that are called upon by the roadmap. Israel hasn't done what it has to do. The Palestinians haven't done what they have to do. And I think if we continue with this kind of process, we're going to see half steps, half measures, and more setbacks along the way. And one of these days, the setback will be such, it may not be yesterday's, but it could be tomorrow's, that it will cause the whole thing to collapse.
Let's get a call. Gary joins us on the line from Memphis, Tennessee.
Hi, I just wanted to express my opinion. When this roadmap piece was set forth, surely those who signed it had to anticipate that this kind of thing was going to happen. And with that in mind, I just want to suggest that you just have to keep going forward. You have to go forward because you have to anticipate and factor in these kinds of things. They're just going to happen, but that doesn't have to devastate the good faith initiatives of those who signed it initially, because they're still on board.
Robert Malley, as you pointed out, Mahmoud Abbas did have to anticipate that this was happening, but as you said, he hoped to avoid it.
Yeah, I mean, of course, when I agree 100% with the caller, one has to go forward. The question is, in what way do you go forward? We've been going forward basically since the roadmap was put on the table, but look at where we are today. So it's not simply a matter of pushing, it's a matter of pushing in the right direction.
Well, even if you have baby steps, at least you're going forward in those baby steps, and at some point in the future you may gain a real stride as long as you stick to the roadmap.
You may or you may not, and I think the point I would like to make, which I think is, for me, a fundamental one, the roadmap process is one that contemplates a series of baby steps, as the caller said, steps, interim steps, incremental steps. The problem is that with each step contains the seeds of a misstep, and that's what's happened. The Palestinians have not done enough on security. The Israelis have not done enough on settlements, on leaving the territories, on giving more freedom of movement to the Palestinians. And if each step is going to be taken grudgingly, as it will be, we're going to see this kind of catastrophe happen along the way.
Consider that the alternative could be far worse with no roadmap and it just being cast aside.
Yeah. Dennis Ross, I heard you trying to get in there.
Well, I was. I mean, in a sense, one of the problems is that the roadmap hasn't been carried out, frankly, almost at all. I mean, what we have had is a ceasefire, not a completely solid one. We've had a ceasefire, not a peace process, because, in effect, neither side ever really had a full appreciation of what was expected of them. We never, for our part, we never defined a standard of performance that they had to meet. So each side was quite free to interpret what it is they were supposed to do, and as a result, they both basically avoided doing what was hard for them. You know, the whole idea of baby steps is one thing. You could sustain this kind of an attack from Israel if the Israelis saw what they saw were profoundly serious steps being taken to do what the roadmap called for. For example, make real arrests, effectively target the groups, begin to dismantle the terrorist infrastructure and capability. If that was going on, the capacity to absorb these shocks would be far different than an environment where it's not going on. And the same is true on the flip side with the Palestinians. It would be easier for Abu Mazen and Mohammed Dahlan to be taking the steps if there was an environment in which they could show that their way was working.
I still suggest that casting aside the roadmap is far worse than anything else that we have right now.
I'm not saying you cast it aside. What I'm saying is you should have implemented it, and the fact is it really hasn't been implemented.
But you have to deal with the reality of what is on the board right now.
That may be so, but bear in mind one thing. It's very easy for us to talk about that from here. The Israelis may well feel compelled now to respond in a way, and they'll say, look, we're doing this because it's clear that even though the Palestinian Authority, with its new leadership, has good intentions, it's pretty clear they're not capable or willing to do what is necessary.
Gary, thanks very much for the call. We appreciate it. We're speaking with Dennis Ross and Robert Malley about the fragile situation in the Middle East. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And we do have some wire copy from Jerusalem. The Associated Press reports Palestinian Prime Minister Mahmoud Abbas, facing growing international pressure to clamp down on militants, convened an emergency cabinet meeting Wednesday to decide how to respond to a Hamas suicide bombing that killed 20, including 5 Americans. The Israel, however, decided Wednesday to carry out military strikes against terror suspects regardless of what the Palestinian Authority does. That, according to the Associated Press, a security official quoted by the Associated Press, on the condition of anonymity. I guess we'll have to wait and see what happens. But before we leave this today, I'd like to get an idea from both of you if President Bush and the American administration, who have been backing and pushing this roadmap, what they can do in this situation, and how that might be affected by the fact that apparently 5 of those killed yesterday were Americans. Robert Malley?
Well, I think there's what they can do now and what I think they might do now and what I would hope they would do in the future. I think what they have to do now is really put pressure on both sides. As Dennis said, neither side has really implemented the roadmap. The American administration has been present, but present in a way that has not really felt itself on the ground. There needs to be more people on the ground, and there needs to be pressure on both sides, on the security side for the Palestinians, and on all the other issues that we haven't spoken about today on the Israeli side, which are the only way you're going to get the Palestinians to sustain the efforts they have to make. I would hope that at some point, though, the administration would understand the point I've been trying to make, which is that if you proceed at this snail pace, you're bound to run into roadblocks every step of the way, and it is time to accelerate the process so that you could really hit hard at the terrorist groups on the one side and start the real process of ending the occupation on the other side. Because until that happens, we're going to get back together on this program every time there's going to be a bomb, and I don't think that we're going to be much forward in the process. There's a much quicker way to move it. Abu Mazen and Dahlan can do more, but Israel is going to have to do much more as well, and all of it should happen at once.
Dennis Ross, we have about a minute and a half.
Well, I think the immediate problem is to try to salvage what exists. I think, A, what has to happen right now is Abu Mazen is going to have to act. He's going to have to do some things that makes it clear these groups won't be tolerated. B, for him to be able to do that, we, for our part, I think, need to help him by getting Arab leaders to embrace it, to make it clear that what happened yesterday is unacceptable, and the groups that are responsible for it have to be dealt with. They have to support him. They have, in doing that, they have to make clear to Arafat that he must go along with it. This can at least create a context in which I think the Israelis are much less likely to act, regardless of the wire copy you're reading, and then you might be able to salvage this. In the end, if both sides don't do the kinds of steps that were outlined in the roadmap, which I think we will have to give much greater definition to so that each side understands what is meant, we are very unlikely to see even a ceasefire survive, much less the reestablishment of a peace process.
And I'm afraid we're going to have to leave it there. And I guess await events. Dennis Ross, thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Dennis Ross, a distinguished fellow and counselor at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy and a former special envoy to the Middle East, with us from his office in Washington, D.C. Robert Malley, as always, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Robert Malley, director of the Middle East Program at the International Crisis Group in Washington, D.C., and a former special assistant to President Clinton for Arab-Israeli Affairs. He was with us by phone from his office in Washington, D.C. I'm Neil Conan, NPR News in Washington.